couple of housekeeping things before we get started. My son Luke is here on the back row. Luke, wave. Luke is here recruiting teenagers. He is the one of the wheel horses on a youth conference that we're having the first weekend in August. So if you know of any teenagers, if you can send them his way, he would appreciate it very much. The other housekeeping thing I have is that I noticed next Sunday you all are going to hear a talk about the utopian fallacy. And your speaker next Sunday is going to try to convince you not to be utopian. And my talk today is unapologetically utopian. So I'm a little worried. I may have to show up next Sunday and boo her while she talks. I guess that would be rude. In 1998, I became an avocational book marketer. I've made my living in other ways in the ensuing 14 years, but I have on dozens and dozens of occasions hauled boxes of books into church basements, libraries, bars, coffee shops, bookstores, anywhere people would hold still long enough to listen, and attempted to convince people to buy books. I've been a sad and miserable failure. The greatest success I and my writing partners had was at a bookstore near Chapel Hill. We sold 50 books at one event. And I've had a number of writers tell me that they never sold 50 books at any event that they ever went to. And the bookstore itself said, we've never sold 50 books at any one event. So that was three or four times what we had ever sold at any event. And then on June 1st of this year, a miracle occurred. At the Greenville Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, three writers talked about their book, a book I brought with me today, and they sold 100 books. They hit upon a genius marketing strategy. They simply said to our congregation, you have three choices. You can pay retail for our books, you can pay a discounted price for our books, or you can pick one up for free. No strings attached. When the day was over, when the 100 books were gone, the writers had covered their costs and distributed a powerful book that testifies to the power of individuals to impact the environmental crisis of our time. Now, don't panic. I did not bring 100 books with me today. But I do plan to employ the same marketing strategy. When you get downstairs, you can pay retail, you can pay a discounted price, or you can pick a book up for free. I'd like to cover my costs, but if I don't, I'll assume it was an experiment worth the cost. Now, why would I take such a risk? Because I believe so deeply that any one of the three books I'm talking about today will make a tremendous difference in your lives, will possibly impact many around you, and may even create the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. Now, doesn't that sound utopian? The more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. Charles Eisenstein wrote that book. He has a degree in philosophy. He spent many years as a Chinese translator and is no more qualified to offer us this more beautiful world than anyone else in this room. And he says so in the book. He says, I'm just a regular guy. I'm writing this book because these are things I believe to be true. And yet he has crafted a magnificent series of arguments for a whole new way of living our lives, out of oneness, out of compassion for each other, out of daring new ways of doing things and being together. He says we are all one creature, looking out at the world through different sets of eyes. Isn't that wonderful? He's a radical critic of the dominant paradigm. If you worry that McDonald's, Walmart, and the U.S. invasion of Iraq are signs of the end times, Charles Eisenstein's right in there with you. Listen to his critique of the worst influences of money on our culture. Money in our current system generally comes through our participation in the conversion of nature into products, communities into markets, citizens into consumers, and relationships into services. He argues forcefully and cleverly for an alternative view. And what better place than a UU congregation to talk about an alternative view? If you decide to go home without a copy of this book, and a lot of you will since I only brought a few copies, please check him out online. Please check him out online. He has a YouTube video called Sacred Economics, which has over 500,000 views. Now, here's my thinking on that. If 500,000 people are willing to listen to a Chinese philosopher talk about economics, then I probably ought to listen to him too. And that's what I've done. Ask me after the service, and I'll give you the name of that YouTube video again, Sacred Economics with Charles Eisenstein. The second book I want you to take home with you today, and many of you will not be able to, is a book called The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. Again, all of you aren't going to be able to take home a copy, but Oprah said about 6 months ago this is currently her favorite book. I checked on Amazon just before coming up here, and it's the 215th best-selling book on Amazon. Now, you may think, well, 215 doesn't sound all that high. Amazon promotes about 50 million books, so 215 is way up there. It has 1,300 customer reviews. This book is a big deal. What about it makes it so alluring? Without saying it is blatantly Buddhist or Zen, the book gives us freedom from our thoughts. It gives us practical, easy steps to noticing. And that is the most powerful technique I have personally gleaned from the book. Noticing. We are not our thoughts. We are the one having our thoughts. Now, some of you understand immediately what I'm talking about, and others of you are completely buffaloed. It's okay. I'll break it down as well as I can. Singer says, notice the internal dialogue that is almost ceaseless. You did something stupid today. You said something you wish you had not said. Now there's this voice inside your head beating tarnation out of you for being so stupid and insensitive. Singer calls that the internal roommate. How could you have been so stupid? What were you thinking? On and on. Singer encourages us to notice, simply notice that this voice is not you. That's not you. You can step back. You are the one hearing the voice. You can listen and notice. Some of you, I'm sure, have done meditation work. This is like that. You watch your thoughts pass like leaves on a river. You see that you are not your thoughts. You are not that voice. You are not the self-critic, but rather you are the field of consciousness on which these thoughts and criticisms are playing. The simple act of noticing changes the energy. Sometimes, but not every time, it will even silence the voice. Now here's a passage from the book which illustrates how powerful this work can be. He says, if you truly want to grow spiritually, you'll realize that keeping your stuff is keeping you trapped. Eventually, you'll want out at any cost. You will then realize that life is actually trying to help you. Life is surrounding you with people and situations that stimulate growth. You don't have to decide who's right or wrong. You don't have to worry about other people's issues. You only have to be willing to open your heart in the face of anything and everything. And permit the purification process to take place. When you do this, the first thing you'll see is that situations will unfold that hit your stuff. But in truth, that's exactly what's been happening your entire life. The only difference is that now you see it as a good thing because it's an opportunity to let go. End of quote. Now, this is a clever, intelligent crowd. So at this point, you've noticed, that I have talked about two books that take us in two different directions. The first book, The More Beautiful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible, is a radical commentary on the madness of the modern world. It asks us to notice that which is in our hearts that might draw us closer to that healed and more beautiful world outside. The second book is about being set free from the madness of our inner worlds, that place within, that voice within that has been torturing us since childhood with self-criticism, doubt, fear, anxiety, twisting the night away. And finally, I have brought with me a third book, and you will be delighted, maybe, by the fact that it is primarily written by North Carolinians. Small Stories, Big Changes is a how-to book written by 14 people, mostly from North Carolina, who figured out how to and went and did it. One fascinating woman grew up in the household of a father who worked for both oil companies and the CIA. She has committed her life to working against oil companies and has had great success with alternative fuels. Another built a wind generator for his community in Canada. One of the writers who came to our congregation on June 1st and helped with getting rid of 100 books was a multimillionaire who lost his entire fortune constructing a green building in downtown Chapel Hill. $14 million later, he is delighted to be running an eco-institute on the outskirts of Chapel Hill with his wife and his two children. They grow organic food, they teach farming and nature studies to inner city kids who are bused in from Greensboro and Durham and other metro areas. They have interns who work on the farm and help with the crops. And they hold community potlucks where they raise up the energy needed to take on the power structure, which promotes pollution from fossil fuels and poison from processed foods. This book glorifies the revolutionaries among us who are questioning our mass suicide at the hands of global warming and processed foods and military adventurism in the Middle East. You will be inspired by them, and I cannot recommend their book highly enough. So there you have it, three books. They're all three downstairs, as long as they last. Some of you will be able to take them home for free, and hopefully others of you will buy so I can afford to keep giving books away for free. I plan to repeat this service at Hilton Head in 5 weeks and on beyond as fate allows, so you will be funding those services with your purchases today. One note of synchronicity. Weeks after watching this free book, retail cost, book system work in my own congregation, I attended the General Assembly of the UUA in Providence, Rhode Island. Just last week, in fact, while I was there, I attended a workshop led by a number of our top leaders, the current moderator, Jim Key, our most recent moderator, Jenny Corder, and other top officials of the UUA. The workshop was on generative leadership, and they were quite inspiring. But one of the most inspiring things about their workshop is that they were giving away books for free. I said, this'll work. One more quick housekeeping note. I have created a handout for those of you who don't get a book today. It's downstairs on the table too. It gives a quick blurb on each of the books and also ways to watch the writers online talk about their work. These will be available on the book table downstairs. Thank you very much.